Tesvav Tevis, 13th of January, Rabbi Dov Ber Cohen, the Nachamu of Tevis.
Everyone brave the snow blizzards to be here. Of course, those listening online will maybe think that we had many inches of snow. Obviously, we braved the 1 millimeter that we had to go out this morning after being promised so many layers of snow. We're all here together, Baruch Hashem. I had to share with you just an idea that really came to me. I was going over the parshas recently, and on Shabbos Chanukah, I was sitting down, looking at the whole event when Yosef tells his brothers who he really is after all those years waiting to say, "Ani Yosef," he finally managed to do so. And I was really interested in a little chiddush really coming out of this week's Parsha, the end of Parsha's Vayechi, where we see where now that Yaakov has passed away, and we all know the brothers are worried, they're scared now that maybe the whole time that Yaakov was still alive, so maybe Yosef was pretending, maybe he didn't have a full mechila, there wasn't any real slicha, and the brothers were now concerned that now Yaakov had passed away. What happened was, of course, they say that Yosef had stopped coming to eat with the family. He was concerned, of course, because when Yaakov was still alive, Yaakov was sitting at the table. Now that he passed away, Yosef was scared, because if he sits on the table, it looks like he's now the melech, but there's Reuven there, there's Yehuda there. So he doesn't come anymore. So the brothers are worried. Maybe he hates us, maybe he doesn't want to see us anymore. And they're scared. So we kind of finished the parsha of Vayechi, the dialogue between the brothers. It's full of emotion, really. It's very, very, very much full of emotion, whereby Yosef now reassures his brothers that he doesn't bear a grudge against them, that he loves them, that he wants to feel connected to them, that he wants to be close to them once again. This is in Perek Nun, Pasuk Yotet, Vayoymer Aleihem Yosef, Al Tirau, Ketach HaSelokim Ani. Al Tirau, don't worry, do not be scared. Am I instead of Hashem? V'atem chashavtem alai ra'ah. You thought too bad to me. Elohim chashva l'tovah. But Hashem had it all planned out. It was all for the good. L'man it was all part of the plans that today I could keep you all alive. I would be the one that would support you, will give you sustenance, you and your family, everyone. And again, Yosef says, "Va'ata al tirau anoichi achal keletzchem." Do not worry. Again, he says twice, "Al tirau." Don't worry again. I'm the one. I will support you. Ves tabchem and your children as well. Va'inachem oisam, va'idaba alibam. And Yosef, va'inachem oisam. He gave him words of nechama. He comforted them. Vayidaber al libam, he spoke unto their hearts. So, the first question we have to have on the board, we're going to have a few questions, we're going to put a few questions on the board, then we're going to go through and answer them, and please go by the end, we'll have something interesting to take away with us for Shabbos. First question is, Yosef said a couple of times now, al tirao, don't worry, it's okay, don't worry. But now we see the end, he has to give some sort of nechama, vayinachim or something. He has to talk to their hearts, he has to keep going, he has to give them nechama and speak to their hearts. Why? He's already said to them, don't worry. But they don't believe him anymore. He said, don't worry. So why? First question is, why do we have to have still these words of nechama after he's already said, don't worry? Let's go a bit deeper now. Rashi, on this pasuk, says, vayidaba alibam, devarim hamiskablim al halev. He said words that would enter their hearts. And we'll talk about this a little bit later on. He brings a number of reasons or a number of examples of what Yosef said. And at the end, he brings down from his Gemara, the quotes as well, Gemara Megillah, the following mashal that Yosef used for his brothers. He said the following: Asara Neiros, lo yachlu l'chabos ne'achad. 10 candles were unable to put out, to extinguish one candle. And therefore, how much more so, how could one candle, put out 10 candles? And with this, he comforted them with these words, by saying these words. So we've got some more questions now. That's funny, because I was going through this, learning this on Shabbos Chanukah, so I had this whole question, Chanukah and candles and Yosef and Chanukah, and it's all connected, so why candles? Now, there's more questions really to mine here. First question is, why use the analogy of candles, of Neiros? Another question is, it doesn't really make sense, the analogy, if you think about it, because you would say, he says, 10 candles couldn't put out one candle, how can one candle put out 10 candles? Well, first of all, candles don't put out candles. A person puts out a candle, a person could blow a candle, or pour water on a candle, or extinguish it, or the wind could come, or what have you. But a candle doesn't put out a candle. So that's one question. Another question doesn't make sense, the Choira. And we'll see in a second, the Maharal also said the same thing. It doesn't make sense. You could say, you know, the brothers are saying, you know, there were 10 brothers... Obviously, Binyamin wasn't part of this. That's why he's not mentioned here. The 10 brothers tried to do bad to one. So you have to say, well, and how could one do bad to 10? Well, hold a second. Right now, Yosef, you know, is Mishnah Melech in Mitzrayim. He's got, you know, the army outside. He's got the bodyguards. He's got the security staff. If he wanted to, it's very simple. He could do ra to them if he wanted to. He could, you know, call up the security staff, come in, and incarcerate them miyad. So, why... Why was that a nechama to them? Why did that give anyway some sort of comfort to the brothers to know that just there were 10 candles, you couldn't do bad to one, one couldn't do bad to 10? So these are some of the questions that I had regarding the analogy of candles. And of course we have the question on the board, like I said, in what way did this give nechama to the brothers? In what way did this really truly comfort them? And, you know, especially this concept of candles, what way did the way this analogy, this moshel of candles, give them some sort of nechama? So, in a way of answering, there are a number of ways to answer this. I was really going through many different mafarshim, and obviously just here for hours talking about this particular subject. So, the first one I want to look at was the Maharal of Prague in the Gur Arya. Maharal is very interesting. He asked the same question. You know, I had a discussion with a chavrus of mine. He said, no, it's very clear that, you know, the brothers were so strong. We saw it in Parshas Vayigash that, you know, Yehuda was going to, was so powerful and strong. That Yosef was 1 against 10, but the 10 were mighty men. It wasn't so simple. But we see the Maharal says, you can't say that one can't do evil to 10, because Yosef, he wants to, he could have caused them trouble. He was such a powerful man in Egypt. So the Maharal of Prague says something different. He says that here what we're talking about is that not talking about Neiros specifically, but rather he says they're referring to the idea of the illuminaries, the mazalos, the idea that there are 12 mazalos, there are 12 signs of the zodiac, and therefore, just as the Ribbono Shel Olam has set up a system, there's 12 hours of the day, there's 12 signs of the zodiac, there's a system in place. So they're meant to be Yudbeis Shiftei Ka, it's meant to be 12 tribes, it's meant to be the 12 of the brothers together, and Yosef saying, how could I do ra to you now? The Ribbono Shel Olam has sort of set everything in motion, there's a system going on here, and we are all illuminaries, just like the stars in the sky, the stars illuminate the world, so too, like candles illuminate, so too we illuminate. I can't do ra to you, you can't do ra to me, and it's all set up, the system is perfectly set out. So I thought that was a very nice answer, a good way of looking at it. It's really referring back to the Inyan of Hashgacha Pratis, that Yosef is telling the brothers the whole time, the Ribbono Shel Olam had this planned out, you wanted to do bad to me, but really you were doing good to me. The system's in place, just like the 12 signs of the zodiac is in place and the whole world is soivev through that. But then I still had the question after that, and again there's many other places we could have looked at. I still had the question, it was still Boerbi. Well, why Neiros? Why does it say Neiros, though? So, according to the Maharal, he's talking about the luminaries, the Neiros. Like, why not use that expression? Why use the word Neiros, specifically? Why use the word candles? So, I was looking at a number of different places, and eventually, I took a look at the Netziv in Haimek Davar, and he says something tremendous, and it completely changes the perspective of this dialogue towards the end. Remember, we asked the question, why is it that Yosef starts to give Divrei Nechama to the brothers. After all, he's already said, Al Tirao, don't worry, I'm going to feed you. So here the Netziv picks up actually on the following. He says that, if you look at the pasuk carefully, Yosef says in his pasuk here, don't worry, I'm going to feed you. And I'm going to feed your children as well. I will be your provider. Do not worry, I'll be your provider. I will make sure that there's bread on the table. I'll make sure that your pantry will be stocked. There's a rav going on right now, but I'll make sure you'll have what to eat and you'll be fine. Do not worry. Interestingly enough, the Netziv says here that the Divrei Nechama that Yosef was telling the brothers was not necessarily to placate them, to appease them, to bring them together because of what they did to him. Rather, he says something different. It says the Hamek Dover. Vayinachem Osam, Shelo Yira Lahem, Gam Zeh, Shehigiu Letzapois Al Shulchan Acherim. The brothers, these mighty men, found themselves in Egypt unable to provide for themselves. They weren't able to provide for their own panasa, and they were looking to someone else. They were looking to Yosef to be the one to provide them with the food on the table. Netziv brings the Gemara. The Gemara is in Beitza, Lama Beis. The Gemara there says, Lama Rav Nasan Ba'aba, Ama Rav, Kol Hametzafe Al Shulchan Acherim, all those who are searching out, looking out another person's table for their sustenance, and as they're relying on someone else to give them their sustenance, olam chashech ba'ado, the world facing them is dark. Interesting expression. The world facing them is dark. When the person cannot get their own sustenance and they're looking out for someone else to provide, the world is dark. And he based this on a pasuk in Iyov, Tesvav Chaf Gimel. Shneema, the Gemara says, Noided hu lelachem ayeh. He wanders for bread, asking, where is it? Yada ki nachom biado yom chashoch. He knows the day of darkness is at hand. Person who's wandering around, who's looking for bread, who's going to provide for him, who's going to give for him, says the Gemara, based on the pasuk in Iyov, is that he's in a world of darkness. Wow, you see the Netziv, that the Nechama wasn't to placate them, to make them feel better because of everything that happened in the past. It's rather right now, living in Mitzrayim, the brothers have to, these mighty men of valor have to go to their brother to get the food, and that's something which is, there's a necessity here to give the Divrei Nechama to them. The Tziv is telling us now, based on the Tziv, I wanted to say, maybe you feel free to disagree, which you may want to. I like to think that maybe this is something here about the word Neiros. Why is Yosef using Neiros? Why does he use the analogy of Neiros, the Moshe of Neiros? Why does he want to that? He could use anything. He's saying like this, you're in a world of Choshech. You think you're in a world of Choshech? No. There's no Choshech here. Why? Kulanu Neiros. We're all candles. The Ribbono Shel Olam has given each and every single one of us the ability to shine. You may think because of the situation, because I'm the one putting the bread on the table, that you're living in a world of darkness. Impossible. Because the Ribbono Shel Olam is one in control of the whole situation. Yes, I'm the one right now who's in this situation where I have the funds and the abilities to give to you. But really, we're all one. We're all one family. We're one mishpacha. And we're all neiros. We're all candles emanating light. There's only light here. That was a beautiful idea, beautiful sort of understanding of why using the mashal of light specifically, why Neiros Dafka is the expression which is used here.
But you still, the brothers had to push you to accept the.
Yeah. But they had to, otherwise they're going to die, yeah. I suppose. I mean, if you're not going to eat, and they've got children to look after as well, so they don't go for it, they're going to die, so they're going to feel bad about it.
Maybe that's why he added a Lekim Hashov on the Tova Lachios Amrov. It's not me who's being Machalkel. Right. The Ribbono Shel Olam organized this in order that you should receive your panosa. Therefore, you don't have to be embarrassed for me.
Exactly. I mean, that's what we're going to build on that point anyway. They'll say that really it is building on this in the Hashgacha practice. The Ribbono Shel Olam is in charge of everything that's going on here. You think that I'm providing for you. I don't find anything for you. The Rosh Hashanah has given me the opportunity through your actions to be in this situation, to give you the food. There's none of this situation where I'm the one who kind of made it and the brothers are the ones who, the lo yutzlach, who never made it in life and we have to fight. No! We're all part of this system together and I am the one who's going to provide the food for you. But that doesn't mean that there's no light here. We're not a world of choshech. Dispel the choshech. Take the choshech away. There's no choshech whatsoever. There's only awe, there's only light. Now this for me was interesting. I hope you like this connection. But you know, it's interesting because we still have the question here. There is still the question. It doesn't, the mashal still doesn't make sense per se. I still was bothered by this in Yonder. Okay, you've got the 10 brothers and you've got the one brother in Yosef. I couldn't do you harm, but he could still do him harm. And also this inyan of the candles, putting out candles, it still doesn't really work. There's candles that put out candles. So it's on this very interesting. I want to share with you something from the Dubna Magid. You see that really what's going on here, more than anything else, is a desire for Yosef to come closer to his brothers again, to be at one with them once more. And you see that when it comes to Divrei Nechama, the ikur word, I would say, of all of the whole pasuk is Vayidaber al libam, that he spoke to their hearts. That he really meant what he said. And sometimes when you're giving Divrei Nechama, when you're helping someone out, it's lav davka, the content of what you're saying, rather it's how you say it. It's not necessarily the message, but it's the messenger. It's the way you say it. It's if you mean it, if you're contrite. I always laugh with my kids, Kanei Nahara, you know, when they do, the ones coming crying, being smacked or hit, and they go, say sorry to the other one. So they'll come like, sorry, and walk off. You know, did that really work? Some people think it does. I don't. I mean, if the words aren't real, if it doesn't mean anything, if it's coming from a real place, then oftentimes the content isn't important. There's a story, I'm sure many of you know this story. It's one of my favorite stories. I think about it often. So the Chofetz Chaim, Zatzal, when Chofetz Chaim was in Poland, obviously where he lived. He didn't speak Polish, he only spoke Yiddish. And as I'm sure you know this story, but it's worth just reiterating this point, that there's, after the war, obviously the anti-Semitism in Poland was rife, and they wanted to shut down schools, or deny money for the education system, or they wanted it, I think if I'm not mistaken, they wanted to enforce the teaching of foreign languages in the yeshivas and schools. And so the Chofetz Chaim came to speak to the education minister of Poland. And he came with him with a translator by his side, and he met with him, and the Chofetz Chaim spoke to him in Yiddish. And he poured out his heart in Yiddish, explained to him, you know, why, you know, he put forward his case, you know, why. I forget exactly the reason. I don't know if someone remembers what was the actual reason why. What was it?
They wanted to make schools on Shabbos.
Oh, they wanted to make schools on Shabbos. Okay, they wanted to make schools on Shabbos. And he's speaking and he's pouring out his heart. And the translator steps forward to translate the words of. And the Polish minister stopped him there and said, it's okay, you don't need to translate. I've understood fully well what this rabbi is saying and I will grant him his request. Because sometimes it's beyond words. It goes beyond words. It's rather when a person is speaking alibam, a person is speaking to the heart, it goes beyond words. And this is where, interesting enough, the Dubna Magid says something very beautiful, a little story I'm going to share with you, but he brings it out from a Yalkut Shimoni. The Yalkut Shimoni is brought down in a different midrashim. Makes an interesting hekesh between the words of Vayidaber al-Libam to the taking you back from the depths of winter to the depths of summer to Shabbos Nachamu. Shabbos Nachamu, we say, Nachamu, Nachamu, Ame, Yom Ha'alakechem, Dabru Alev Yushalayim. Makes the hekesh in where Dabru Alev Yushalayim speaks to the heart of Yushalayim and connects it to where Yosef is Vayidaber al-Libam. The Yalkut Shimoni says there, Vayidaber al-Libam, V'halot Dvarim Kal V'Choymeh, this is the Yalkut Shimoni, the end of Parshat Vayichid, V'halot Dvarim Kal V'Choymeh, Uma Yosef Shaya Medaber al-Libam, Shelachiv, Dvarim Toivim, Dvarim Nachumim, Nachmam, Yishayvah HaKadosh Baruch Hu, L'Nachem Es Yushalayim, Yechtiv Dabru Alev Yushalayim, Ha'achas Kam V'Kama, Havei Nachamu, Nachamu, Amin. Yosef reassured his brothers with good words and consoled them with consoling words. And when HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes to console Yerushalayim, as it is written, it says, speak to the heart of Yerushalayim, I speak reassuringly, it will be all the more so. Kavah Chomer, there'll be a Nechama when the Rosh Hashanah comes to speak to us. Thus it's written, Nachmu, Nachmu Ami, be consoled, my people. The Dubna Magid says in this a really interesting mashal. He says, there's a story of two families one very wealthy family. Everything's fine, everything's good. Beautiful relationship between the husband and wife. But one day they just have a mad argument. I don't know, shift the pot on the boiler, didn't pay the bill, whatever it was. They had a big fight. And a bit of a screaming fit. And the door gets slammed, and the husband says, "I'm going, bye bye." And he slams the door behind him and leaves. There's another family in the same little town where they're very poor, they have nothing to eat, the husband has no parnasa, nothing's going, nothing's moving for the both of them. It's terrible for the two of them. So the husband says, "That's it, I'm going, I'm leaving. I have to go and find parnasa, I'll see what I can do, who knows if I'll be back." And he goes off and leaves. So a month passes, and both wives are fretting, wondering what's happened to the husbands, where do they disappear to, where do they go to. And a month goes past, the merchant comes into the town, carrying a big sack on his back, and the wives are in the marketplace, and they say, "Tell me, did you, by any chance, did you see our husbands when you're on your journey, when you're out there?" And the man says, "Actually, I did see your husbands, I met them, and they both are doing well, and they both have letters for you. I've got letters for both of your husbands." So they start to give the letters. "Can we see? I want to see now. Let me see the letters. I want to see, you know, I would like to see the letters miyad." So the merchant says, "Look, I'm really tired. I've been schlepping around. I've just got off the wagon. I can't do this right now. Just give me a few. Tomorrow morning, I'll see you back in the market square. I'll find the letters. I'll rummage around. I'll find them. I'll give them to you there. I'll do it." So the wealthy lady, it says, the Dubna Magid in his mashal, the wealthy lady says, "Fine, shine, say that, I'll come back tomorrow morning." She goes home, she's fine. Where's the poor lady? She's, "No, now, I need it right now. I've told you, I need to see, I want to see it. Please show it to me, I need to see the letter. Right now, show it to me, I'm desperate to see it." I said, the merchant's going, "Why are you driving me nuts? Why are you, enough. I told you I'll give you the promotion. No, I need to see it right now." The Dubna Magid says, in this mashal, the Limshul, in this mashal, the wealthy lady is like Am Yisrael. I when I first studied, I thought it would be the opposite. It's like the wealthy lady is like Am Yisrael. Why? Because when the Khorban happened and the Rosh Hashanah, so to speak, left, we always knew that he'd never leave us forever. We just wanted a message. We wanted something, a little note saying, "I'm still here. I'm still around, I'm never going to leave you." And just in words, "Nachmu, Nachmu Ami," Dabur Alevu Shalayim, is enough of a Nachama to know that Ribbono Shalom himself is speaking to us. It doesn't matter necessarily what the content will be. The content isn't so relevant. It doesn't matter what the words are, it's just the fact that there is a kesha, there is a connection. Ribbono Shalom has picked up the phone line and said, "I'm still here, I haven't disappeared, I'm still around. You don't have to worry." Whereas the wife of the poor person is fretting, is worried, she's concerned that the Baruch Shalom has left us, it's gone. That's not the Jewish people. We're never concerned the Baruch Shalom will leave us completely. We're just looking for that connection. We're looking for that point where the Baruch Shalom comes, picks up the phone, so to speak, says, "I'm still here, do not worry. Nachamu, Nachamu, Ami, Dabur Alevu Shalayim. I'm still here. I'm still here. I'm never going to go away." This is what the Dubna Magid says. And so we understand, maybe from this, that really, when at the end of the parsha now with Yosef, we saw already from the Hamagdava, from the Netziv, this idea of darkness and light, Neiros maybe, that's a nice way of understanding the analogy of Neiros. That the brothers were in darkness, they had to rely on their brother for their own sustenance. No one, it's quite emasculating to have to rely on somebody else, and so there's darkness, and therefore now we have light. But maybe even more so, what we're seeing is that the brother Yosef, Dabru Alev, he's speaking to the heart. He wants the connection. It doesn't necessarily matter what the content is. It doesn't matter what the words are per se. It's rather the fact that he's present, he's contrite, he's honest, he's real. He demands and wants love and connection once more. And that's more important than anything else. And that's why, you know, we finished in Tavis now, in the depths of winter. You know, they say there's a... We've started lighting Chanukah candles when we lived in Eretz Yisrael. My wife and I, we started lighting olive oil. Everyone was lighting olive oil, so we also lit with olive oil with the Shemen Zayis. But they say about the Hasidim that they light dafka with the wax. And I read it once, Maybe this is very Adava Yadua, but I heard someone specific says that it's the light lighting with wax. Why? Because when you light with wax, the wax drips onto the you know, the mantelpiece or onto the shelf. Mm-hmm. And so therefore the whole year round you have a zecher for the Neres Chanukah, you see a bit of the wax and it's there. But I will say the following. You know, we finished already a little while ago lighting the Chanukah lift. But Nachamu, I heard from last week, we were zechetif from my Rebbe, Rav Moshe Weinberger, said Nachamu is much famous, Neres Chanukah, Moisif V'Hoylech. Nachamu, Neres Chanukah, Moisif V'Hoylech. The Nachamu, that even in the darkness of the Galus, the Chanukah is the last mitzvah, right? It's the last nes, and it's taking us through this dark Galus of Edom, the way through. The Neres Chanukah, Moisif V'Hoylech, Nachamu, the Rosh Hashanah is still there, even in the darkness, he's still holding our hand. And we have to look out for those messages in our everyday life to see him, where he's talking to our hearts. And even more with ourselves, with our own sort of voida, we should always learn from this lesson of Yosef, that sometimes it's not the content that matters. When you're trying to give divine nechama to someone, it's not always the content. Eila, it's how you say it, whether you mean it. And let's hope, Met Hashem, we can always build on that, to build more connection, more achdus. And like we finished the Parsha now, we start the whole Sefer Bereishis. If you think about it, with Cain and Hevel, the two brothers, one ends up killing the other. We finish the whole Sefer Bereishis now, as we enter the Sefer Shemos next week. We finish the Sefer with Achdus of all the Yudnesi Shivdekar. Thank you very much. Good show. Good show.
I'm not sure the WMI needs to be the other way around.
I thought so too.